This is the State of Things from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. Thank you. Winston-Salem Police Department is expanding the use of small body cameras for officers on the force. Some 90 officers will now be outfitted with cameras that capture interactions between the police and citizens. Though the Winston-Salem Police have had cameras in use since 2012, this move to expand the use of body cams comes in the wake of the shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. WUNC Greensboro Bureau Chief Jeff Tiberi has more on that and other news from the Triad. Jeff, welcome back. Always good to have you.
Hello, Frank.
So tell us about this decision to increase the use of body cameras for Winston-Salem, right?
Not only in Winston-Salem. That city is going from about 40 cameras on officers. And many listeners, many folks have probably noticed these. They're small. They look almost like a pen that often come right up along where glasses would be if you wear glasses, if not above the ear. Winston-Salem is going from 40 to a total of 225. That's what they're hoping to do if they allocate the correct funds or the enough funds over the next year. Hoke County is doing this. And in Greensboro, they're implementing efforts to have every patrol officer wearing a camera by, I believe, the end of this year or early next year. So this is kind of a, I would say, a growing trend, at least anecdotally, with some police officers here in the state. And one of the central questions to this is what to do with the footage, how to handle the footage.
That has been a serious question because, as you say, it's been a growing movement, big debate obviously in Durham right now about whether and how to use those, but really no policy governing the footage, how long to keep it, when you release it, to whom, and all of that, right?
Nope, varies a little bit. If Hoke County has a standard that it has set, I'm not aware of it at this point. Winston-Salem, its practice is to keep the footage for 90 days, and if somebody has a complaint, they can request to see the footage. That request would go through the chief of police's office, and it's handled on a case-by-case basis. There is the provision that, you know, if there was an incident involving an officer and a suspect or a citizen, whatever the case may be, if a red flag is raised, then Winston-Salem will hang on to the footage, or so it says, for as long as need be to sort that out. In Greensboro, the footage is considered part of the officer's personnel file, and the personnel file has a pretty big leeway under the North Carolina public records law, meaning there's an exemption and it doesn't have to be released. So the question becomes, are there certain circumstances where this footage should become available to the people that were in the footage? Or if there's a request, should it just be uniformly granted? So that's something they're talking about. They're going to have a forum later this month on that.
Yeah, it really is a huge public policy question, whether that belongs to the public or the officer or the department. And that's more than a theoretical question. The question has already been raised, and there's one case where controversy surrounds footage that was already shot.
So there was an incident in Greensboro earlier this summer, and it's not entirely clear what happened. There is a cell phone video of one of two men who one of the men was arrested. His brother is capturing a cell phone video of his brother getting handcuffed on the ground, and a police officer is taking him into custody. What transpired up to that point is not entirely clear, whether or not these two were doing something illegal or provocative or mouthed off, whatever the case may be. It's not clear at this point what happened. The end of the cell phone video taken by a citizen has police officer handcuffing or taking into custody a suspect and then two other officers showing up. And at least one of those officers, maybe two, has one of these cameras on. So in the aftermath, the question, I think somewhat naturally was, well, what's on that footage? We'd like to see the earlier half of this. Because this was something that got posted in social media and I saw it and there was some outrage attached to it. You know, look at this wrongful arrest. And from what I saw, I couldn't make a judgment on it. Would really like to have seen the previous 90 seconds, 2 minutes.
There have been complaints that the police acted a little too rough in their handling of this suspect. We've got the video, the cell phone video, of course, a citizen. Now what's on that police video? And that's the big question.
Yeah.
And so far, what have the police said about that video?
They have said they're not releasing the footage from that video because that's not their policy. It is part of the officer's personnel file. They don't have to release it, and there's no plan to do so at this time, as it pertains to that incident.
And is there, and that's in Winston-Salem?
That's in Greensboro, actually.
Oh, that's Greensboro. Yep. So any policy, again, is that under a 90-day rule? Will it be held for 90 days? And after 90 days, if it's not released, it's gone?
That's a great question, and I don't know the answer to that.
All right. Well, so those are some of the reasons that they're going to get together, have this forum, and come up with a policy. So last time we were here, we talked about a Brookings report about poverty in America, and this turned out to be one of the areas with the highest and fastest growth rate of poverty in the country. It got our attention, certainly, and apparently some of the mayors in the region were paying attention to that report as well.
So of the six biggest cities in North Carolina, unfortunately, five have experienced some of the most rapid growth of people living in poverty over the past 12, 14 years, Durham being the only of the top six cities in North Carolina that has not experienced that. So Winston-Salem, Greensboro, High Point, Raleigh, and Charlotte have all seen significant increases in the number of people living in poverty, to the point here in Guilford County that it's almost 20%, it's about 19%, so about 50,000 people here are living in poverty. Mayor Nancy Vaughn, after the Brookings report, called for a summit. This is the first of several poverty summits that will take place, and it brought together Alan Joynes, who's the mayor of Winston-Salem, Bill Bell, who's the mayor of Durham, other leaders at the table, and then there was a crowd of about 100 people, folks that, from my observation, tend to be people who are, you know, working in day centers and shelters and with religious organizations who are helping provide some of the services to these people in need. So this is kind of the beginning of this part of this chapter of the conversation.
Is it going to continue? Have they decided to carry on the conversation?
They hope to have another summit by the end of the year. One of the things they spoke about were best practices. Best practices both in Durham and in Winston-Salem. But as they look at Durham, they're trying to gauge what is working in Durham, if things are working, because, well, there are neighborhoods in Durham where there are rates of poverty that are pretty high. It's not growing at the rate in these other cities here in the state. So they're trying to learn about the collaboration that Mayor Bell has spoken about earlier this year. And, you know, it's a collaboration of various organizations in Durham and, you know, take from that what is working and hopefully apply it to some
you
of the other cities.
Mayor Bell in Durham has gotten a head start on this and put together an initiative, and he learned an early lesson when they went into a neighborhood and as far as the folks in the neighborhood were concerned, didn't consult them enough. So one of the lessons they seem to have learned is get your information from people on the ground, from providers on the ground. Is that any part of the strategy or any part of the discussion today, that there are people providing services, people in neighborhoods with lots of answers if you listen?
The mayor conceded, and I think the word she used was diverse. There needs to be a more diverse set of voices at the next summit. This was largely elected officials. I spoke with several people who are, you know, involved, entrenched in this and working on it on a daily basis, and they said, you know, this was a nice broad view. This was somewhat of a summary of what's going on, but change is really needed, and it's needed right now.
We're getting a Triad News update today on the state of things. Jeff DeBerry is with us. He is Greensboro Bureau Chief. In other news, the city of Winston-Salem has decided to provide employment benefits for same-sex partners who are married in other states. Tell us about that.
They have. They decided, and this came after the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling. I believe that was last month, maybe in July, but that was recently over the summer. And Winston-Salem decided that it's going to offer same-sex spousal benefits to anybody who's working for the city. It's the first city in the state to do this. Asheville has a similar type of – their city council passed a resolution. They have a same-sex domestic partnership registry, which passed 3 years ago. That's a little bit different, but this is something that people from the city told me they don't expect. They've only had one person come forward and say they would like to enroll in these benefits, but they're looking at it more of a philosophical shift, I think, is what they described it as, is taking place, or they're seeing take place in a lot of cities. And they've decided, based on the court decision, to move forward with allowing.
I was going to say, it is based on the court decision, because while this would be seen as a victory for gay and LGBT rights groups, they also want the city and others to move it a step further. Isn't that right? The fact that the
yes.
That what this does is provide benefits for those who are legally married in another state,
right,
but not for domestic partners who declare that they are domestic partners.
Right. And there was some conversation about that in Winston-Salem. It's a moot point at this point, whether or not to take up domestic partner, a larger umbrella, if you will, of domestic partners. And in Asheville, they do have that, and there are various stipulations, and you have to essentially, you know, you sign something saying you live together, or you're committed to each other, or you have a bank account or a vehicle or a lease or a mortgage together. There's some concern over, I think, the legality of it. And there's also some concern over the money side of it, how many people would be requesting benefits. That's according to the city manager.
Very briefly, Daryl Hunt, back in the headlines. Tell us about that.
He will be in court tomorrow morning at 9:30. His wife requested a domestic violence protective order against him on Friday. I have not seen it. I went to the courthouse yesterday. It has been confirmed that it was requested. So there is a restraining order. The emergency protective order, this is based on the court reporter from the Winston-Salem Journal, is reporting that that wasn't granted. So there'll be a hearing in civil court tomorrow. At this point, it is an allegation. Daryl Hunt is widely known across the state. He was convicted of killing a Winston-Salem copy editor back in the rape and murder of Deborah Sykes back in 1984. And he served 19 years in prison before DNA evidence exonerated him, and he's been an outspoken person in the social justice scene for more than the past decade.
All right. Emergency order not granted. The hearing tomorrow, and we'll know more then. Jeff, thank you very much.
Thanks, Frank.
Jeff Tiberi, WUNC Greensboro Bureau Chief. Thank you. Just ahead, Matisse Prince at the Weatherspoon Art Museum in Greensboro. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. But first, the music of Whoa Woeful.
I get leaving on my mind, and I wanna quit this easy town. This drafty house I'm in has let so many stray things in. I'm tethered, buried in the ground. I'm no carpenter, this box of knotty pine was meant to keep me safe and sound from all the creeping things, light and dirt and lover's sighs. This box was poorly made, as if I knew I'd stick around. As if I knew I'd stick around.